2. Become self-aware, not self-obsessed. But who can discern their own errors? Psalm 19, verse 12. Key: great leaders pay attention to how they're coming across. While attending a conference for leaders and speakers, we heard this startling statement. The higher a person rises in leadership, the less self-aware they often become. Wow, scary thought. We can't verify if that's true because the statement wasn't backed up with statistics. However, the authors of Strengths-Based Leadership, Tom Rath and Barry Conchi, write, "All too often, leaders are blind to the obvious when it comes to something of critical importance to them, their own personality. Many political and business leaders have self-concepts that are miles away from reality." As we thought about that statement, our minds traveled back to the beginning of our ministry life together. As I, Steve, mentioned earlier, our first church was in a rural farming community. We were located next to a chicken farm. Of course, there was no air conditioning in our ancient building. On hot summer days, we opened the fragile stained glass windows to get some air into the sanctuary. Within minutes, the odor of fresh chicken poop invaded every nook and cranny of the building. We didn't have a lot of sophisticated people in our church. The pews were too hard, and the smell was too bad. Our church was for humble folk. We had a bunch of farmers, truck drivers, day laborers, and widows. Good people. Simple people. Imagine my surprise when one Thursday afternoon I got a phone call from a polished leader and preacher who had hit the big time in our part of the country. "Is this the Little Brethren Church near Lambertville?" he asked. Yes. Well, one of them," I replied. He introduced himself. At first, I wondered if it was a prank call. I couldn't believe that I was talking one-on-one to such a famous guy. "Well, as you know," he said, "I'll be speaking at Madison Square Garden this Saturday night. I'd love to come and preach in your church Sunday morning. I learned to play the organ there when I was a kid." Of course, I immediately agreed to give him my pulpit. As soon as I hung up the phone, I called the Christian radio station in the nearby town. They agreed to promote our big Sunday morning event. Then we made up flyers and distributed them to all the farmhouses in the community. Saturday morning, we set up dozens of chairs in an overflow area. This was a big deal. Our little country church was on the map. We were hosting one of the most famous preachers on our side of the continent. Sunday morning came. The pews filled up an hour ahead of time. The deacons hustled to set up projection equipment in the fellowship hall. At 10:45, I was getting nervous. Where was our speaker? The evangelist still hadn't shown up at 11:05. Our 86-year-old organist had just finished a second round of her dreary prelude. We needed to get this thing going. I got up and welcomed everybody. We started singing hymns. Still no speaker. I took the offering. Still no speaker. I started thinking of a sermon that I could pull out of my back pocket. We sang some more. Still no speaker. Then, just in time for the sermon, the rear doors of the church flung open, and the famous speaker and his wife came strutting down the center aisle. Every eye was on them, smiles all the way.